Welcome to the Kids Ministry and Leadership Podcast. My name is Andy, and today I want to explore the topic of servant leadership. Let's chat about how Jesus masterfully exemplified a way of leadership that calls upon each of us to live for the sake of others and lead through service rather than seeking power and prominence. Our guiding scripture for this transformative exploration is Mark 10:35-45, which unveils the enduring power of servant leadership in our lives and communities. In this text, we see Jesus boldly challenging our conventional notions of leadership and power. And there's a powerful declaration. We'll pick it up from verse 42. It says, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." These words shatter the worldly concept of leadership rooted in dominance and control. Jesus, our ultimate model of servant leadership, emphasizes that greatness is achieved not through the pursuit of power, but by embracing the role of a humble servant. It's interesting, this thought of Jesus, who came at a time where the Jewish mindset was that there was going to be a ruler that would come. He would come, and through a dictatorship or a takeover of the Roman emperor and civilization, it would come in and fight. And it was this war, it was this mindset of a messiah, a savior, someone coming to completely dominate. In fact, Jesus came to love, and this notion of servant leadership really is that space of where, rather than to come in the way that the world and previous dynasties or rulers of the day came, he came with a different notion, which was to serve, or servant leadership. So a question I have for you all as you listen today is, do you need a position in order to lead others? Do you need a position? Is it that position that enables you to influence? Is it a position that enables you to lead? Now, I would answer no, and I hope you also do, because true leadership is not about wielding power or control. It's about influencing others through love and selflessness. As Jesus beautifully puts it, "I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, so you also should wash one another's feet." That's found in John chapter 13, verse 14 to 15, paraphrase slightly there. But so now let's dive deep into the practical implications of living out what servant leadership looks like in our contemporary lives. Imagine what your day would look like if you truly believed that others were more important than you. Philippians 2 verse 1 says, where Paul encourages the community of believers to demonstrate the unity by showing love to one another. What does that love look like? Well, it mirrors the life of Jesus, putting the needs of others ahead of our own. Right after these verses, Paul recounts an early Christian hymn about Jesus who emptied himself and took on the form of a slave, obedient even to the point of death on the cross, which he is our ultimate model of servant leadership. It says here, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." This shows and exemplifies this position of the heart when it comes to leadership, that it's not using those in whom we're leading or those in which are in our care as a commodity to get to the point of what we're trying to accomplish and have them outwork that. But in fact, as we lead, it's to look into and care and serve and take their best interest to help position and point them to what we really feel God has for them. In Romans 12 verse 9, it underscores the importance of genuine love for others, where it reads, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." I like that last bit. Outdo one another. Outdo with kindness, by care, by looking into and thinking really what has the people who I'm leading got in their hearts, and how can I best take that forward? So the truth is, we can often be task orientated, and leadership can be so focused on the task that we forget about the calling is actually other people. In fact, it just takes on I'll just take a side journey quickly when it comes to this concept of calling. Calling, we often boil down to what I'm called to do, and it becomes quite selfish or personal. But as we look through scripture, we're first and foremost called to Christ. Then we're called to one another. Thirdly, we're called as a body of believers to reach the lost. And lastly, as we dig through scripture, we probably, it's only at that point that we get to what I'm individually called to do. And I think this is probably lost a little bit in leadership, is where we're so focused on what I'm called to do that we forget that first of all, we're called to Christ and then called to one another and to help propel others towards living a life that God has for them. So with that in mind, let me tell you a story. When I was a young kids pastor, and the individual calling had me running from room to room, the individual job, I guess, more so than calling, had me emceeing, it had me up on stage, it had me running the game and essentially controlling everything, the worship part. And I'm running around one day, and I looked out this day and I saw this guy, Nathan, and he's playing basketball. And I instantly resented him, as he was the cool leader and I'm just the guy doing everything. You see, the truth is, I needed to value the leaders and love them and release them into serving God, into their gifts, and having people doing what they could do. It was that moment when you start to think, am I the only one that can do this? Or can I actually release others into service? I think this is servant leadership, is I'm serving them by allowing them to use their gifts. No one wants to stand on the side with their arms crossed, just watching you do everything. And I think that sometimes when we come to servant leadership, our mind instantly goes to that we're constantly serving and we're looking after them and doting over them. No, serving them is allowing them to be authentically them. It's the kingdom of God where Jesus embodies a posture of service. And it says in Luke 22, verse 26, but not so with you, rather let the greatest among you become as the youngest and the leader as one who serves. So again, the best way we can serve is by letting people do what they authentically are made to do. So today I just want to unpack some implications, positive implications, that when you do act out and live out servant leadership, what it brings into your church, into your organization, into your world as you lead through this. So the first impact or implication is that it fosters trust. When you are a servant leader, it fosters trust. Servant leaders build trust through authenticity and selflessness. The trust creates a positive and supportive environment where people feel safe and valued. As Stephen Covey put it this way, trust is the glue of life. It's the most essential ingredient in effective communication. It's the foundational principle that holds all relationships. The second impact or implication for us as we are servant leaders is that it enhances team dynamics. Servant leaders encourage collaboration and teamwork. By recognizing and appreciating each team member's contributions, they cultivate an environment of harmony and unity. I'm sure we've all heard that saying that teamwork makes the dream work, but really it is. It's where we are enhancing team dynamics by serving and releasing others into their gifts. A number of years ago, I did a communication class where they asked us to create our life's meaning in a sentence. This took weeks and weeks to come up with, and journaling and writing and thinking and mind mapping and boiling it down and boiling it down. And eventually, for me personally, it came to help match people's potential with God's possibilities. Nothing makes me happier than seeing the team dynamic enhanced. Now, this is a growth factor. It's something that I probably haven't always been good at. It's something that I think you identify, okay, how can I best serve it? But then you start to live this out. I think when you're a younger leader, you're more controlling. You're trying to get your identity. You're trying to outwork and wrestle with how do I make this happen? But the more you move forward, the greater the joy is as you're releasing other people to do what they love to do. Nothing makes me happier than seeing the team dynamics enhance. The third is it boosts morale and satisfaction. Genuine care and support from servant leaders elevates morale and job satisfaction. This in turn leads to higher productivity and lower turnover. Steve Jobs explained it this way: your work's going to fill a large part of your life. And the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe, and do what you believe is great. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do. I was sitting at a workplace once, and there was a table of about 8 people, and they were all saying, if you could do anything in the world, what would you do for work? And the first person was like, oh, I've always wanted to be a fashion designer. Someone else is like, oh, I'd love to be a forensic police officer. I went third out of 8, and I said, I love my job. Like, I don't really want to change anything. Well, it sort of killed the mood because I could see around the room a lot of people weren't happy with what they're doing. But the truth is, and my encouragement to those that are listening is find what you love to do. And then the second part is find a way that you can do it. So not always is the dream job what's paying you, but you find ways to finance it in order to do what you love to do. And on the same time, once you get into a place where your finances match what you're doing, you love what you're doing. And I think it's incredible. I think that our job as leaders is to help give people more of that satisfaction in what they're doing. Number four is it inspires others. Servant leadership does inspire others. It helps them adopt the same mindset. It cultivates a culture of service to one another in an organization, in your church, in your business, in your ministry, whatever it might be that you're contextualizing this in. It inspires others. The culture of service and compassion that extends beyond the leader's immediate influence to now this is a culture of how people treat one another. Leadership is not about being in charge. It's about taking care of those in your charge. Simon Sinek said that. I love that quote. It's not about being in charge. It's not about just establish yourself as the leader and I'm in charge, that positional leadership, but it's about taking care of those that are in your charge. One of the greatest leaders that has influenced me and inspired me to not just by a stirring speech or by what they have to say or through their communication, although it is good in what they do, it's by someone who got down in the trenches and served alongside of me. I know for me, being quite futuristic, I'm always thinking ahead, and I needed to learn how to be present and how to look at the now, not just I've got this project out in front, as soon as it's done, great, move on. It actually then started to come into my life that I'm always so thinking about tomorrow, next week, next year, that I'm not present with people. And what that does is it doesn't allow me to understand the person for the now and help to position them to go forward. Servant leadership for me meant slow down. Servant leadership for me was to listen more. I don't know what it looks like or sounds like for you, but servant leadership can take on different shapes according to how you're wired. The fifth impact is that it leads to lasting change. Servant leadership serves as a catalyst for societal change. Leaders who prioritize the well-being of their communities can spearhead initiatives that address systemic issues, promote justice, and advance equality. Margaret Mead sums it up this way when she said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's actually the only thing that ever has." So the impacts of servant leadership are: it fosters trust, it enhances team dynamics, it boosts morale and satisfaction, inspires others, and it leads to lasting change. So as we finish out today, servant leadership, as epitomized by Jesus, urges us to reevaluate our traditional understanding of leadership. It calls us to prioritize others above the pursuit of power, recognition, and personal gain. It actively, by us implementing this leadership in our daily lives, we not only align with the teachings of Christ, but also contribute to creating a more compassionate, empathetic, and fun, to be honest, place to be around and workspace. So as we lead through service and love, we become catalysts for positive change with our families, workplaces, and communities. But ultimately, we embody the essence of that upside-down kingdom of God that Jesus brought into the world, where leadership is not just position, it's about serving others. Well, thanks for listening today as you joined us on the Kids Leadership Podcast. I'm looking forward to having you back with us next month. We'll be right back.